Welcome to Politics Ohio. I'm Emily McCord, and this week, a Franklin County judge dismissed a lawsuit that challenged the addition of slot-like machines at the state's horse racing tracks and other changes to Ohio's gaming laws. I'm speaking today with Rob Walgate with Ohio Roundtable. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here, Emily. Thanks for having me.
So now, your group's basic argument is that this violates Ohio's Constitution.
Our lawsuit had 17 claims to it. And the contention on a number of them were the violation of the Constitution, as you mentioned. Ohioans have amended the Constitution a number of times in terms relating to gambling. And we feel that the governor and the legislature and the backroom deals that were cut with private business owners go around those agreements. It, in essence, tramples on Article 1 of the Ohio Constitution, which says all power is inherent to the people.
Now, the state says that this is an extension of the Ohio Lottery. Is that something that holds water with you?
That's something I always laugh at, because when I think back to 1973, when people were passing the amendment that created the lottery, did they envision slot machines to be a function of the lottery? Is that what they were envisioning? Because if you take the governor's logic and the legislature's logic, they are saying that the Lottery Commission has the ability to put slot machines anywhere it pleases, because in this instance, they've picked the winners and the losers. They've picked the seven racetracks to be the winners, and that's where they're going to put them. However, by their logic, they have the ability to put them anywhere and everywhere. And I've talked to a number of bar and restaurant owners that are quite upset that they picked the winners and the losers and didn't give other lottery retailers the ability to be part of the process. So it goes; it's in total violation of the Constitution.
So Dayton is one of the locations for a new proposed gaming complex. Penn National Gaming, the company that's going to be in charge of this complex, says it's going to bring jobs to Dayton. Isn't that a good thing?
Well, there's a lot of people that have said jobs. That's how the 2009 constitutional amendment had passed. They promised 34,000 jobs. We have testimony from the two gambling companies that passed that amendment from this year at the State House where they were testifying, and they're nowhere close to those numbers in construction jobs, in full-time casino jobs. They're not going to come close to hitting the numbers they promised. Now, some people are going to go, well, some jobs are better than others, but, well, understand, if they're lying about that, what else are they lying about? How can you be willing to trust them? These people created a business monopoly inside the Ohio Constitution. And quite frankly, of all the gambling proposals that Ohio has seen, this one was the worst. And it's the one that the voters unfortunately approved.
Now, isn't it true, though, that Ohio loses out to other states that do allow gambling?
Ohio does lose out to other states. And the people that live on those borders will still, there's no way to seal the borders. They're still going to go to those other states and gamble. That's number one. Number two, new gamblers will be created. So for the casinos and the slots at the racetracks, if they're implemented to survive, they're going to need to create new gamblers in Ohio. Well, in the economy that we're in, for those casinos to thrive, you're going to create those new gamblers. So people that do not gamble will gamble. That means their discretionary income will be shifted. So people that were maybe going to Kings Island or Cedar Point or the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or Columbus Crew Games, there's so many different things and options. Now that discretionary money will be shifted, and you will see other businesses hurt, restaurants, you know, home improvement stores, car dealerships. Let's face it, Ohioans only have a certain amount of money. If they're going to lose it all in casinos, they're not going to spend it in other businesses.
So what's next for your group? Are you going to appeal the judge's decision in Columbus?
All of our options are on the table, and we are seriously considering an appeal. We believe we have the winning case. The judge dismissed our lawsuit prematurely. We didn't even be able to be heard in court. It's interesting to read his conclusion. The judge's conclusion, he talks about how the legal system exists to give its citizens a voice when a wrong has occurred. Well, this is clearly where a wrong has occurred, and the judge has silenced our voice. He has not allowed us to be heard in the court of law.
I've been speaking with Rob Walgate. He's with Ohio Roundtable. Thanks for being here today.
No problem, Emily. Thanks for having me.